Her debut album for Deutsche Grammophon was issued in 2009, though it was recorded in November of 2008, at a time when the pianist was just barely 21 years old. And it was a pretty ambitious album, to say the very least. Containing, as it does, a piano sonata by Alexander Scriabin, the Funeral March Sonata of Chopin, and the B minor sonata of Franz Liszt. In addition to a couple of very tricky etudes by the Hungarian composer György Ligeti, one of which has a very catchy title. And here is that etude by György Ligeti, played by Yuja Wang. Etude that Judge Ligeti called The Sorcerer's Apprentice, played by Yuja Wang. I wonder if he had to pay any royalties to the Paul Dukas estate for doing this.
For the title?
Yeah, well, maybe not. Maybe not. Or to the Goethe estate. Of course, he wrote right. The poem. And, you know, for a piece that doesn't have anything to do with Mickey Mouse, it's pretty terrific.
Yeah, it's very... scintillating to play.
Now, how did you happen to run into Judge Ligeti when you were so young? Not that you're all that old now.
I was in Aspen Institute and I either heard a concert or read a book about him. And I feel like he basically just took Bartok to the next notch and combined mathematics and like proportions and everything. And I just was extremely fascinated and I chose the two easier etudes and played them, the Fanfare and the Lautsaberlerin.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, obviously, I've been joined tonight by one of the world's great pianists. Yuja Wang has stopped in tonight. We're going to be playing some recent recordings and talking about whatever she feels like. Yuja Wang, welcome back to KUSA.
Thank you. Nice to be here again.
The last time you were here, the next day, I got a call from a guy who... very sophisticated listener, you know, a schnabel collector. This guy's heard everybody.
Wow.
And he said, not only is she one of the best I've ever heard, but she also has the best laugh.
Well, and it gets better with age, I think.
Yeah, there's high praise coming from him. High praise coming from him.
The pitch of the laugh.
Now, are you as amazed as most people are that Maurice Ravel wrote his two piano concertos simultaneously? I mean, it's an amazing thing that both came out of the gate at exactly the same time.
Wow.
And they couldn't be more different.
Yeah. Well, for once, one is written for the left hand and it's dark. It's very, I love that piece. It reminds me of his famous works like La Valse and Bolero. It's, you know, he just knows how to release in the end of the piece, make it a splash. And the Ravel G, it's, I read letters of him saying he was written in the line of Mozart or Saint-Saëns, where concerto should delight the ears, not to oppose the orchestra. It's not supposed to be against some forces with orchestra, so... I guess to find sophistication is not really the way to listen to, but there's so much sensuous, perfumey part in that delightful G major.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, you know, writing the slow movement almost killed him.
Oh, tell me about that.
Well, he said, you know, trying to sustain that single line for as long as he did. He said
Thank God he's not a singer.
Yeah, exactly. He said it was the toughest thing he ever had to write in his life.
Well, he haven't killed any English horn players yet.
No.
I love. I think the second one is the reason why I learned this concerto, what draw me to Ravel. It's this kind of simplicity, naivety,
mm-hmm.
a little nostalgic, but always very nobly nostalgic. You know, it's kind of sentimental, but behind a veil. So there's always a sense of reservedness. It's so aristocratic in a way, but also just, I remember my old teacher said it's like playing with velvet gloves, but with steel hands.
Same thing,
I think, emotionally. It has that combination as well.
Yeah, and the left hand concerto, too. I mean, it's so tough to play, which is why Alfred Cortot, in his famous recording from the 1930s, used both of his hands.
Oh! I actually wanted to make a video, so I want to make sure people know I wasn't cheating.
Yes.
It's very hard to, like, I think after I practice that piece, I need to do something, like stretch the right arm or something. Yeah, that's really hard, and it's not performed very often for me. And also in the performance, it's always a balance is the issue, because he actually used a much bigger orchestra for the left hand than the G major. And it got so much colors, so much percussion. It's very, very much a full, like, he could write a concerto for four hands with that kind of power.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think he may have done that because he was told how terrible a pianist Paul Wittgenstein was.
So he wanted to make the orchestra cover him?
Drown him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul Wittgenstein's famous brother, the philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein,
mm-hmm.
he said whenever his brother played at home, and they lived in a huge mansion in Vienna, whenever he played, Ludwig Wittgenstein would run out of the house. He just said it was so annoying and terrible, but, you know, we have this
That's kind of what my neighbors do, too, I think.
Well, let's hear that recent Deutsche Grammophon recording of the Concerto in D, the Concerto for the Left Hand by Maurice Ravel. The soloist is Yuja Wang. The Zurich Tonholo Orchestra is led by Leonel Brongier. Concerto for the Left Hand by Maurice Ravel, played on that recent Deutsche Grammophon recording by pianist Yuja Wang, and the Zurich Tonholo Orchestra led by Leonel Brongier. Yuja Wang is my guest tonight. This is 91.5 Classical KUSC, the member-supported broadcast service of the University of Southern California. Had you played a lot of Fauré before you recorded the ballade?
No, that's actually the only thing I played with orchestra. It's a concerto kind of, I think I played it when I was 11 in China. First time I worked with a orchestra, and I was very mesmerized by the sound of flute and just the whole color of all the wood instruments. And I also heard his nocturnes, beautiful pieces. But I decided to put that in the middle because I think it's same with the second movement of the G. There's kind of reminiscence of the childhood. So for me, that's, yeah.
Have you thought about playing any of the nocturnes?
Definitely thought about it. But every time I never put into fruition yet. It's a great opener for recitals, but it's hard to pairing with something else.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, and they're very elusive. They're just very mysterious
yes.
pieces.
Yeah. Elusive is a great word.
Yeah, there was a Dutch pianist in the 50s. Her name was Germaine Thyssen-Valentin.
Mm.
She got off to a big start, you know, in her 20s and 30s, mm-hmm. and then yeah. had five kids uh-huh. and decided to raise her family. And then came back in the 50s and recorded mm-hmm. just about all of these.
Oh, the four, yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
And they're just magic.
Yeah, they're little jewels.
Yeah, they are. Do you have a preference for either the solo version or the orchestral version of the ballad?
I do have the preference of orchestral version, just because the colors from the woodwinds are so... So kind of afternoon of the fall-ish, you know.
Yes.
It's very, just something very, it's hard to put into words. It's just very atmospheric and perfumey and maybe a little smoky, very heated afternoon, you know, sultry. Kind of like right now in LA.
Exactly. Well, here is the ballad in F sharp by Gabriel Fauré, played by Yuja Wang. Sharp by Gabriel Fauré, played on her recent Deutsche Grammophon recording by pianist Yuja Wang. Who's my guest tonight here on 91.5 Classical KUSC. As we were listening to that, we were talking about the Manuel de Falla Nights in the Gardens of Spain, which, you know, is one of those absolutely indescribable, unclassifiable works.
Yeah, of course.
And you may be thinking about...
I was thinking about that, recording that, because it's very similar to the Ravel Left Hand. There's this, the rhythm or the harmony in the Ravel Left Hand is very Spanish, has the, yeah, the scent of Spain. So I played it once only, but haven't recorded.
Yeah. How do you pick stuff for the future? I mean, do you just follow your own inclinations, whatever you feel like doing? I would hope so.
Yeah, definitely the intuition. I think the curiosity always leads to where I kind of like, you know, if I crave for meat, my body needs meat. So if I crave for ligeti, then I need that for intellectual nourishment. So lately I've been playing lots of German stuff. I'm off to Verbier now, doing a song cycle by Brahms with Matthias Gerner, La Chanson de Magalon. It's a kind of like a Romeo and Juliet story, but with a narrator as well. And then I just did the Ravel and Gershwin. Those two, I think, are very inseparable, how they influence each other and how similarly sounded, but in their own way. And then next year, I'm doing the Bartok cycle, which is the three Bartok concertos in LA with Gustavo. That will be very fun. It's really interesting because it really covers from the early period, middle, and the end of Bartok.
By the way, I think that's the first time I've ever heard, because it's included as well, the Bartok Second Piano Concerto described as fun.
I'm very masochistic.
Yeah, Leif Ove Andsnes, you know, was a terrific piano player. He
yes.
spent the better part of 6 months trying to learn that thing.
Yeah, I also heard Zimmerman was going to record it, but he's like, oh, it's just too hard. And the third concerto, oh, it's just too easy. So, yeah, the third concerto is beautiful. And actually, I played the second because, you know, as a young little, I just want to play the hardest thing out there. And then Bartok 2 is actually harder than the Prokofiev 2, I think. And the Bartok is extremely classical in its form and also very contrapuntal. So it's kind of like playing Bach, but with thirds and sixths and octaves and, yes, and ninths. And you have to not only together with yourself, but with a trumpet, with this, with that, and everyone's coming into different offbeats. So it's extremely hard for ensemble. And same with the number one, but number one is less complicated in terms of rhythm.
Sure.
So it will be easy. It will be nice. You would think it would be nice to play the third one, but you know, it's like Chinese calligraphy. When the character has less strokes, it's way harder than the one.
Oh, of course.
So it has that feeling.
Yeah, because there's nothing harder than Mozart to do well.
One, if you're in a naughty mood, I think it's pretty fun. Yeah, yeah.
Well, why don't we continue with that recent recording of the G major Ravel concerto and the whole thing. It just feels airborne, your performance. I mean, it's just like everybody is floating in the best sense.
Yeah, I love that piece. I guess he was loosened up a little bit by Gershwin. It has a typical like harmonies of Ravel, but the syncopations, the rhythm stuff, I guess. Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. I think, well, me and Leonel has a very similar idea of it. It's just, it's very light. It has to be light. Even when it's forte or all these colors, it's a light splash. It's not a heavy thing. So, and then there's a very improvisatory feel to it. You know, the more I find with French music, the more you're actually closer to the music, the harder it is to describe with words. Or maybe it's just because I drank too much. But it's really hard. But I know what I want. I know that sound world, that kind of sparkling, scintillating kind of world. But it's really hard to describe it. And every time, especially the second one, you know how he, like scholars always talk about the left hand is like a double waltz with the right hand and all that. But just very subtle, little, sensitive harmonies in there. It's just, it's beautiful. It's, well, I love Ravel's. I know Ravel was very much influenced by Edgar Allan Poe. And, like, pieces like Gaspard de la Nuit, like, they're very phantasmagorical. And there's influence of E.T.A. Hoffmann. So all of this may be a little bit derived from Schumann as well. Just a little craziness, this imagination. I think he liked to borrow or steal stuff either from Spain or from more exotic places, or like blues from Gershwin. And the other thing is he is Swiss after all. So the two things remind me of Switzerland is the clock, which he has the position. Like he said, just play exactly what I wrote on the score and it'll be perfect. So It has that exactness, and also it has this like very sensuous, perfumey feel, like the Swiss chocolate.
Exactly. Exactly. But this doesn't, add your waistline.
Not yet.
Here is that recent Deutsche Grammophon recording of the G major piano concerto by Maurice Ravel. The pianist is Yuja Wang. The Zurich Tonholler Orchestra is led once again by Lionel Branguier. Concerto in G major by Maurice Ravel, played by Yuja Wang with the Zurich Tonholler Orchestra, led by Lionel Branguier. Earlier we were talking about, you know, how impossibly difficult the second piano concerto of Béla Bartók is. The second Prokofiev concerto, you know, especially coming off the first, which is so listener-friendly And it's, you know, relatively pianist-friendly. The second is a monster piece. Mm. The cadenza has got to be as, you know, tough as Islame by Balakirev. I mean, it's just a guy saying, okay, I dare you.
Yeah, totally. And I think conductors love that. I love that. It's like climbing a mountain and after, you know, mountain after mountain, and then by the end when the tuba comes in, you're just, oh, I'm just a piano, you guys are louder. No, it's such an emotional dark work, and the more you play, the more it reveals, because he did reconstruct it because the work was going through a fire, so he reconstructed through memory. So there is that excitement and that's like daredevilness, but also has the maturity of, in terms of the structure. I haven't played that since last year at the ball. I made a promise never to play that again because I've been playing it for like 6 years. Yeah, it is very, very impressive. I remember when I heard it in a competition when I was 14, and I just like washed over by this powerful, I don't know what it was. Yeah, it's really amazing.
Well, let's hear that equally amazing performance of the second piano concerto of Sergei Prokofiev. The Simon Bolivar Youth Orchestra is led by Gustavo Dudamel. The pianist is Yu Jiawang. Second piano concerto of Sergei Prokofiev, and you haven't played it for a year, at least. And are you ever going to play it again?
You know, I do miss it. I do miss that kind of catharsis going through it, playing it every time. Yeah, probably I will play it again.
Yeah. That was the second piano concerto of Sergei Prokofiev. Yu Jiawang was the soloist. The Simon Bolivar Orchestra was conducted by Gustavo Dudamel. Yu Jiawang is my guest tonight here on 91.5 Classical KUSC. So you recently did the Tarangalila Symphony with that bunch.
Oh, yes.
Known in the trade as the Tarantula Symphony as well. But, geez, nice. That's a handful of a piece. It is so strange, even now.
Yeah, I love it, though. I love it so much. It has everything in it. In its extreme and the intensity of it, it's kind of like my lifestyle, so maybe that's why it's like totally. And then, you know, I did meet the wife of Messiaen, who championed this piece, Yvonne Loriot, when I was 12. So I we did amazing concert with New York Phil with Esa Pekka, who really knows the piece, and we're doing it again in Sweden. But I was on tour with Simon Bolivar with Gustavo doing this piece, and totally amazed. That orchestra is just so exciting. Well, the recording we did, I was the first solos they made a recording with, and they live their life playing music. So the way they play music has an extra, you know, my life depends on music kind of thing. And they just rehearse, never feel tired because the music just take them into another reality.
Yeah, and they're all kids too, so...
Well, they're my age now. They were used to be youth orchestra. They're now not too young like me. They're exactly my age, actually, so it makes it even more fun for me because, I can enjoy the music I love with people same age, you know, and have the same kind of passion, same love for certain music. They love the Prokofiev. I think they like anything very challenging and edgy. So the Tarangalila for them was... But even that, after concerts, oh, God. I can't count.
Have you looked into any of the solo piano music of Messiaen? The preludes?
No, I'll just do 1/10 of the score.
Okay.
So Tranquillo is good. No, those kind of pieces, I think I need a grander environment for me to feel excited and to be part of this something bigger. Otherwise, it's too much notes for me to learn.
Okay.
Too many black dots.
Okay. Since we were last here, we lost one of the great conductors, Claudio Abbado, and everyone who ever worked with him, they all say, you know, one of the nicest guys, along with everything else. I mean, he was absolutely ruthless in getting what he wanted, but, you know, he was very nice about it. Like,
yeah, he can fire people with a smile.
Yeah.
No, I don't really... well, I feel like he's very mysterious, I guess. I can't really understand him. We just have very silent rehearsals. Well, obviously, he heard my listenata in a live concert on a video, and then he decided to choose me for the opening of Lucerne Festival, as I'm sure it's on YouTube, when I was 22, playing Prokofiev 3. I was... I don't know how I did that, but there is a special energy that he only have during concerts, which is not present in the rehearsal. But he just, in a way, make you play better, you know, kind of achieve to your best state. I don't know how he does it, because he doesn't move much, and he was a pianist before. I don't know. He just collect everybody's energy, I guess. And his big thing is silence. I heard... I asked Martha Argerich, what did she learn from Michelangelo? And she's like, the most thing he said was silence. You know, it's such a paradoxical thing.
Well, he canceled so many concerts, so there was a lot of silence.
They were all silence. Yeah, Claudio also have this intense listening. He handpicked every musician, so they're kind of all soloists, but the way we listen to each other, and that's also... how I was taught in Curtis, like by playing chamber music, you communicate with your instrument this way. And so I think that was that kind of communication in the highest level. It was just, but it was very, very intense though. On the stage, I could be like totally numb, but for some reason my finger was still moving, you know?
Excellent. Yeah. Well, listen, when you come back to town to do the bar talk, come back to KUSC.
Yes.
It's always a delight.
Definitely.
Well, let's hear another Russian piano concerto, a second piano concerto, about as far removed from the Prokofiev 2 as it is possible to get. Here is the C minor piano concerto of Sergei Rachmaninoff. Yujia Wang is the pianist. The Mahler Chamber Orchestra is led by Claudio Abbado.